Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, baby.
Hello, my love.
Ready to talk about some sex.
Let's do it.
Before we do that, though, let's address Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. It has been a crazy week and a couple days. Mm-hmm. It's been a crazy fucking past few hundred years, but like this past week and a bit has been really wild to see. I think it's like I'm pretty sure, like I think it's safe to say, like, we are currently witnessing the largest civil rights movement in the history of the world.
Yeah.
There are literally people marching and protesting in every single state. Almost every single province, fucking all over Europe, all throughout Asia, Australia, New Zealand, like it's fucking everywhere. The UK. Yeah. And all because people are finally waking up to the fact that that
we live in a very unbalanced
yeah.
world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, having said that, you know, we didn't release an episode last week. We wanted to take time to stand in solidarity with everyone who took last week to like just sit back and listen and to do some like internal work on how, you know, personally, like do some internal work on how like I've been contributing to that unbalanced system. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a long, like it's still within that process. And I think you are too, of just like, of a lot of learning and a lot of unlearning and a lot of like guilt and like realization that, that it's super fucked up that it's taken this much pain and this much hurt to like finally wake up to this, to what's happening right now.
I also think the circumstances, the environment, the COVID-19 quarantine, global pandemic, all prepared everyone to be as affected as they are by this, you know, and that goes for whatever reaction people are having. You know, people are raw and people are ready to make plans for a new world. And it's that perfect storm of timeliness and readiness, and I'm really bowled over. I'm my eyes are open, and there's some really, I've just been, you know, I'm sure like you, just like looking at all, listening to all the podcasts and reading all of the articles and the news, and you know, it's just, I'm listening for sure.
We'll move on with the, you know, our regular scheduled programming here. But before we do, I want to be like very clear. We are to all of our Black listeners, we see you, we fully support you. We stand beside and in front of you. We're totally fucking on board with this movement and Black Lives Matter. And I also want to say to any of our listeners who have a problem saying Black Lives Matter or like are inclined to want to say All Lives Matter, if you're one of those people and you're listening to this podcast and that is you, reach out to us. Because I honestly would like to have a conversation about why you feel that way right now. So you can, you can fucking email me, jeremy@sickboypodcast.com. Just send me a personal email. I'd love to talk about that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, baby.
Shall we move on? Shall we?
I guess. I mean, yes, I guess we shall.
Well, we've got a full episode in store for everyone today. We're going to throw to a conversation that we had with Andrea Barica. How do you pronounce her last name, Brady? Barica?
Goddamn. Why did you ask me that? I don't know.
It's Andrea Barica. I'm just kidding. We know exactly what it is, and it's Barica Barica or Barica. It's one of those three. We have a conversation with Andrea. Andrea, who is the founder of O School, which is a really, really fucking cool resource. And they're up to some amazing work in the world of sexual education. And this is actually one of my like favorite conversations from this year so far. But before we do throw to that, I have an announcement to make.
Oh.
Are you ready for this, Brad?
Sure, hit me up.
All right, here we go.
Should I hold my breath? Just had sex.
I had sex.
What happened?
I had sex. I had sex. Well,
it feels so good.
Well, let me say this.
You can say whatever you want. Sex.
I know that saying that, there might be some people that are like, wait, what the fuck? What do you mean you had sex? How'd you have sex? So we are still in a pandemic. Don't forget that. But yes, I did have sex. And I have to give kudos to some of our listeners. And although there's probably some listeners that aren't going to agree with what I'm about to say, after a while back, there was like, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks back, we were talking about, I was talking about how I was feeling really down about the fact that it's going to be a long time before I can like fucking be like touch another human being or like have sex with another human being. And I was like feeling a little bit depressed about it because like the world in Nova Scotia right now in Halifax, the world's opening back up. Like my favorite bar just opened back up. You can go get your hair cut at the barber. You can, you know, you can go out and do all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm like, no, I can't. I'm going to just stay tucked away in my own little bubble. I'm going to like, you know, cause I don't want to risk it that maybe there's a second wave. I don't know how to handle it. And so in that realization of like, wow, everyone's going back out into the world. And then I'm stuck here. I was like, fuck, I'm like, am I not? And then you said, Bride, we were talking and you were like, yeah, you might have not had sex for 2 years or something. Fucked. And I was like, oh, fucking fuck. Like I was like, that made it way worse.
Oh no. That's not usually my habit.
No.
Things worse.
Oh yeah. No, not usually. No, you usually make things a lot better, but you did not in this case. And so then we had a couple listeners that were like, dude, why don't you treat this like you would with like any other partner when it comes to like practicing safe sex?
Yeah. Makes sense.
And I was like, huh, yeah, good point, right. Listeners. Right.
You guys should be the host of the show.
Dude, fuck. And so anyway, I had been talking to someone for a little while on, you know, I think we met on Tinder or something, but, and it turns out they are immunocompromised as well. And they have been like
loophole.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have been socially isolating, in a very remote area, pretty far away from here. Mm-hmm. And we got to talking and after a couple of our listeners like said this thing to me, which was like, yo, what if you find someone else who's immunocompromised, somebody else who's a hermit and like somebody else who you think is like isolated, why the fuck couldn't you see each other? And I was like, yeah, maybe you're right. So I put it out there to this person and I said, hey, listen, just saying.
Were you chatting?
Yeah. Yeah,
you guys were already chatting.
We were already chatting. We already had like video sex. Like it got to that point. We were already like
okay
there
okay.
in terms okay. of like sexual like tension and energy.
Mm-hmm. You're ready to take it to the next level.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And so I just said, I was like, hey, look, I'm just going to put it out there. If you're ever in the city for whatever reason, maybe you stop here first before like doing anything else.
Because
they have an apartment here in the city, but they've been staying outside of the city for like isolation purposes to like really get away from it all. And they thought about it and took me up on the offer and fucking basically came straight here. And so here's
drove all that way.
Yep.
Didn't stop and shower, just got right to the house.
Well, no, they went to their apartment, showered, and then came here and like dropped off a bunch of stuff at their apartment.
I see.
But then came here.
I see.
Anyway, that doesn't matter. But I gotta say this. So listen.
Yeah, I'm listening.
When I finally, this person was the first person that I had been more than like 5-6 feet away from. Since March 13th, I think, or March 12th.
That's so crazy.
It was so crazy. No, like it was so crazy. Brady, I swear to fucking God, just simply by hugging this person and like sitting on the couch with them for like 10 minutes of like just being like remotely close, it felt like I took Molly. I legitimately was overwhelmed. It must have been some sort of crazy like dopamine response or something.
Yeah.
Because I was like, my whole body was like sensitive and my heart rate was up and like my, like it was like euphoric Red Bull or something. Like it was really fucking, and I almost had to leave them. I almost had to be like, excuse, like I almost had to excuse myself. Cause I was like, I don't think you understand. Cause they stayed with their parents. So they were like, you know, they're around people.
Other people, yeah.
And I was like, I really don't think you're going to like get this, and I don't want to weird you out, but like I'm kind of tripping out right now. It was really, really overwhelming. Anyway, we ended up having sex and it felt really nice. And then I had a little bit of like fucking buyer's remorse, you know, like the next day I was kind of like, for like an hour, I was like, oh my fuck, what did I do? Was this a bad idea? Did I do something bad?
Nervous.
I did something bad. Like, I'm going to get COVID. What if I get COVID? If I get COVID and I die, like, how are they going to feel? Like, I was totally fucking losing it. And then I talked to Becca and talked to Taylor and Brian, and they were like, dude, zero risk. Like, you're fucking fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, that's good. I'm so glad for you. And I'm glad really you had that sort of intense experience of touch. Did you ever hear the poem that I wrote about touch?
No. Was it one of the poems that you wrote in your diary when you were 7?
No, I definitely didn't.
About the milk boy?
No. Should I read you my poem or no?
Yeah. Wait, you have a poem like teed up?
I have a poem.
That you wrote? You have a poem teed up that you wrote. We didn't plan this, ladies and gentlemen, folks,
no.
People of all people.
Yeah.
All right. You're not even looking at your phone. Is this memorized?
No, it's on my computer screen.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's not a full poem, but it's a beginning of a poem that I wrote about, I think I wrote this when we first opened our relationship.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not used to reading my
own poetry. Hold on. Is this poem not about me? It's about the first guy that you saw after we opened our relationship up?
No. It's just
God
about...
God damn it!
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm joking.
The male ego never ceases.
It's a joke! All right. Hit me.
Touch me. I'm blushing already. What is it about that offer, that suggestion that feels a bit much, abrupt, rough even, in the space between my body and yours, between us? It's almost foreign, a body language not meant for strangers. Hands, arms, cheeks, skin. Sounds dangerous. To complement words or to take the place of them with your body, say something. I extend the invitation. And be patient, just after initial sensation, that unsettling navigation, temperature, pressure, context, vibration, check in. Feel that? Chemical reaction to friendly touch. Receptors receiving information, lightning fast reaction, oxytocin. A promotion of trust, compassion, pro-social emotions and bonding. Survival, it's primal, on a central somatosensory level. Also, a decrease of cortisol, slower heart rate, lower blood pressure, a meditative lull, a soothing sense of safety, a healthful state to combat weighty stress and illness, inflammation, a sedation of the fight or flight negotiation. Also, dopamine, a rush of infatuation, bold motivation and focus, but in high concentration, it nurtures addiction. Triggers the reward center of the brain, encouraging repetition, a desire to take risks and explore, loss of inhibition. So be a wise and skillful touch technician.
Whoa, I like that. Wise and skillful touch technician.
You like that?
That should be the name of the episode, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Skillful touch technician? Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's babe. You're so good with words.
Thanks, baby.
You're such a good word lady, a wordsmith,
smithstress.
Thanks. Yeah. A lot of what you just read just kind of like really resonated with me.
Yeah, that's the science, baby. That's the science.
It was also really intense in the sense that it, you know, it was a very nice temporary moment in time that existed within this like little bubble. You know, they are now gone back to
their private island.
And you know, things are like back to what they were days before that here, right? And there was like, I did have this really It must, like, I don't know, maybe it was a crash, like a sort of endorphin crash.
That makes sense.
I definitely like had a come down, and in that come down, I was like devastatingly missing Becca. Because it was just like this, almost this, like re-realization that like, holy fuck, I'm not going to see her until like this time next year, you know?
Wow, that's crazy.
Whereas like when she first decided to go to Yellowknife, it was like, oh, well, we'll see each other every like 4 months, or we'll see each other every like 3 months.
Is that only different because of COVID?
Yeah. Well, yeah, fuck. And since COVID, she's been there for six months now.
She
like, it's been half
she
a year.
To. Holy yeah. shit.
Yeah, so anyway.
Yeah, I miss Becca too. Becca, if you're listening, I miss you too.
So there's that.
But that's cool news, and that's good to know. And do you think there'll be a second date, a second in-person date? Or?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just like down the road when...
Yeah. Yeah, who knows?
After
who knows?
2 weeks and neither of you get sick?
Yeah, exactly. Who knows what that'll look like? I'm not really sure. But you know what it did do? It offered me a little bit of, and I want to be very cautious in the way that I say this because, again, I don't fucking take this COVID thing lightly.
Yeah.
You know, like I've stayed home during the Black Lives Matter marches and protests, like, which fucking kills me. But I've stayed home because I don't want to risk getting sick.
Yeah. And there's other ways to support the movement, yes, considering that context as well.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And so again, like, and in making this decision to having this woman over, you know, there was a lot of like thought that went into that. There was a lot of discussion back and forth between her and I that went into that. A lot of like, look, I am trusting you. You're trusting me, that we are both. But it also, that experience in and of itself also gave me this sense of this like confidence in going, okay, maybe there's more opportunity to experience something like this with other people, as long as there's like this really clear, and like caring and loving conversation behind the weight and the risk that goes with it, and like ensuring that everyone is like that this is the, you know, this could like work out the best way possible. So having said that, what I mean is like, maybe I could do this again with somebody else who's mm-hmm. also like, yeah, no, I've been doing my bubble thing. Like, and I'm not really.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I think it's good to notice that people are going to be doing that. You know, you're not the only one who's going to be doing that. And,
yeah. 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 Like, I wonder too, like, I know they were doing this in Ontario, but if we get to a point where anyone and everyone can go get tested when, like, at, you know, if someone wants to get tested for COVID, like if they can just go do it.
Yeah.
Like if we got to that point, I think like maybe here in Nova Scotia, because currently it's not like that. Like you need to show some signs or symptoms. They really are broad and like it can be any sign or symptom. Like Taylor got tested the other day because he was like, I feel tired. He's like, right. I know that it's fatigue from working out too much, but I'm just going to go get checked.
And
he got his results back in 12 hours. It was really? Fucking crazy. Yeah, it was crazy.
I've been really tired. Maybe I should get tested. I am like,
I don't think you need to, but like, you know, maybe if they're willy nilly giving them out, then why not? But if they're, you know, if they're trying to reserve supplies or something, maybe don't.
Yeah. Unless yeah, I am it. Honestly, so I'm in the middle of like a project that is very fulfilling, but also I think probably has some subconscious, I think also subconsciously or maybe not even subconsciously, but I have to be really aware of my mental, physical, spiritual, emotional state because I'm out in the country on Prince Edward Island, taking down my childhood home from the attic to the basement, taking home my grandfather's childhood home next door from the attic to the basement. And I have numerous hoarders in my family. No one else can get home. We've got these two properties. My grandmother just died. You know, everything needs to be cleaned out. And I'm loving it. Like, my organizational brain, my like do it brain, like my masculine side is like perfect, organized, moving things around. You know how much I love to organize.
Totally.
You know,
are you, what are you again? Are you Sagittarius? What's your?
I'm Pisces. A Pisces.
Yeah, Pisces, right. Is that a Pisces thing? Are you like living your best Pisces life?
I don't think I'm living my best Pisces life. Right. I think my Pisces, I don't know much about this, but I feel like the Pisces part of me might be the person that might be the part of me that is when I drive home after, so it's an hour commute out here to the country to do this every day. And then on my drive home, I'm like feeling pretty good. But then as I'm getting into bed, I start having anxiety attacks about the work. I think that's more my Pisces side. But okay, the anxiety is not about like getting the project done, because I'm a good manager and I'm like calling the people and I'm getting the trades out here and I'm doing the work and I'm really organizing. But what's happening is like there are multi-generations of emotional baggage in this house, not only with like the hoarding and the collecting, but like I got into a corner of my grandmother's house today that has always been the scariest room to me. It's like dark. There's never any breeze. It's a really weird room. Everything's just kind of musty. Well,
it's definitely haunted. If you're feeling like that when you walk in there and you've always felt that way, it's haunted.
Well, I haven't even finished telling you what happened today. So I get into this corner, and so my grandmother, you know, a scrapbooker, right? And when I say scrapbooker, I mean she basically recreated every day's newspaper in her own version in a scrapbook. Like, it doesn't matter whether it was personal shit or just like random community shit or nothing to do with her shit. But then she had like scrapbooks that she made for different people and whatever. So I'm going through this bookcase of all kinds. And then she kept papers that were like just the covers of greeting cards, because you could use those in scrapbooking. And, you know, like every piece of paper that ever crossed her path in her life. She never threw out a piece of paper. So I'm going through it all. And I've been talking to my grandmother a lot while I've been doing this work out here, because she's, you know, I feel like she's watching me shovel her like collections into the garbage and panning. So I talk to her all the time and I tell her how much we love her and blah, blah, blah. But then today when I was in this corner in my grandmother's house that I've been avoiding because it's the scariest fucking corner to me.
I don't know if I want to hear this, man. I'm getting legit like hereditary mind flashes. And it's been a couple of years and I've worked that movie out of my fucking psyche.
So anyway, I open up the bottom cupboards of this. I've just gone through this whole stack of bookcase, this whole bookcase, and I keep hearing, open up the bottom of it and it's stacks of paper scrapbooks from like the 1950s, her oldest scrapbooks, but they're damp. You know, there's no salvaging any of that. It's Jesus just Christ. Pure paper. And bang, I hear this like big bang. And
dude,
I go out
off.
And I look around and I can't see anything that's fallen or anything that's like could have slammed. So I go back to the work. I get to the pile of papers that I've already decided I'm going to get discarded.
Dude, I want to look behind me and I can see behind me in the fucking camera of my fucking Zoom. Like, I know it's behind me, but I don't want to look behind me.
Yeah. and so then I get to the pile of papers I've decided to discard and I start shoveling them into bags. And as I'm shoveling into bags, I come across this one piece of paper and it's like a transcript, like a university or high school transcript of Virgin's. And I'm like, for a second, I go, oh shit, am I throwing out something that might be historical and important? Bang. I hear this other bang. Again, I go out, I look around, and I just felt like it was just so clear to me that whether it was her or whether it was Jesus her mother Christ, or whether it was Brent's mother, just in there being like, stop throwing my shit out. Like, that's important.
Oh my God, dude.
That's what it felt like. And I honestly, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. I would not. I would have been out of there in a flash. But I had just met a couple out here who were doing, I just got them to start doing like lawn work. And it was only because they were outside running the lawnmower and like stuff that I was able to just stay in the room and finish the room. It's the only time of day that any light comes in through the window. I was like, this is now or never.
Holy fuck,
and then I'm
dude.
Fucking checking out of this room because it's haunted. It was definitely haunted.
So, that is officially the most legit ghost story anyone's ever told me that I know personally.
Just wait, I still have a whole attic to do.
Oh my God, dude. It's like I refer to it again. I mean, I've watched Hereditary like 7 times, but that scene where she goes into her workshop and she's like just tidying up and she's looked at, you know, the little miniature house that she's working on, and she shuts the light off. And when she turns off the light, all of a sudden the like silhouette of her mother in the hallway light is just standing there. And then she sees it and turns the light on and it just disappears as soon as the light comes on. Woo! That shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
And you know what's been so crazy, you know, like if you're just tuning in now, you know, my dad, he died. It's been a month now since my dad died, which is bananas. And my grandmother died, you know, 2 months before that. And so I'm out here and there's all these impressions and remnants of my dad and the life that, you know, we had in this house, you know, and then same thing with my grandmother, all these treasures. And, but then like I've been processing all of my old beliefs and shit from childhood about love and relationships and, you know, just like really wrapping my head around the fact that my stepmom was only 27 when she was responsible for me. She has a very, very private and secret past that I won't mention on this podcast, but that she doesn't talk about, that I've also found a bunch of evidence of in my grandmother's house in all of this.
Did I not know about all this stuff?
No, I'll tell you off the air, but just like, you know, and so it really is like everything's, there's so much broken shit. There's so much garbage. There's so much cheap shit. And I'm so thrilled to like be the only one here who can like resurrect like our belongings in a way that's like, this is quality and this is what you deserve and we deserve this, and you don't have to save the fancy olive oil for the minister when he comes over. Like, we're the good company. Like, our family, like we deserve to have nice things. And I'm fighting for that for my family, even though there's no resistance. Like, I'm not talking to anybody about it. And my stepmother's so grateful that I'm doing the work, but like, I can feel the emotional labor involved in what I'm doing right now. And my stepmother herself was like, you're saving me years of therapy and going through this.
Dude, but how fucking amazing is 2021 going to be?
You know what?
like
I'm not having a terrible 2020.
I'm not saying anything about terrible. Nothing. It's not neither good nor bad. It just is what it is. Which what seems to be is intense. I mean, it's at, like, hands down, it's the most extreme intense year that I can remember in Christ, like ever in my fucking life. Really, like, it's,
do you,
it's,
you feel like your entire life has changed?
Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
In every sense of the way,
mm-hmm.
Like in every atom of my, like everything is just being reset.
Yeah,
everything. Like, it's fucking crazy. And then, you know, it's like, because we're in this together. You and I are in this together. When I say we're in this together, I don't mean like, I do mean globally, but like, I also am talking about you and I right now. Like, we're in this together. You know, it's like the. the death of your grandmother, your nana, your father, the state of the world, the COVID, fucking this movement we're in the middle of. Like
it's big stuff.
It's big stuff. It's just such big stuff. I don't want to get lost in that and beat that to death, but it's just making me I'm thinking about all the gray hairs that I have right now because you don't live here anymore right now. And, Becca also isn't living here. And those are you are the only two people that I've ever relied on to pluck out my gray hairs. I don't know if it's just what it would normally be like if no one was here and my gray hairs are just growing like this, or if there's an increase of gray hairs because of everything that's going on, because there's such an influx of what fuckery are we with it? Like, what fuckery exists right now? This is so awe-striking that oh my God, all my hairs are just all going, there's so much gray hair. Like, I just am.
Wow. I got my first gray hair, or I noticed my first gray hair when you were in the hospital for pneumonia the first time. Oh yeah, I can see it. Looking like a silver fox.
Yeah, it's so anyway, all that to say, yes, I feel like I am completely changing. Yeah. Like it's changing me in that by 2021, I'm going to have salt and pepper hair. So.
Well, that will be fabulous. I think we should, I would love to queue up that little quiz we have lined up.
Sorry.
We'll throw it towards, before you get any more gray hairs, before you get any older, let's throw it over here. we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago with Andrea, who's the founder of O School, and she is in this really cool intersection of technology and sexuality. And, as you'll hear, she was inspired to get into this kind of neighborhood of sexuality because she felt in desperate need of her own sexual education. And we've seen a couple of different resources like this, but O School, is a really accessible sexual education site that it is basically, as she explains, is created based on the questions that people are Googling.
This is going to be really fun. I'm looking at this right now and I'm stoked to do this.
Yeah.
Just for people so that you know, the website is o.school. That's it. It's not o.school.com. It's like the URL.
No
is
www. None of that.
It's just o.school.
Mm-hmm. They have these, they have this little questionnaire you can fill out to get a customized set of what's called orgasm cards. They're basically a series of questions that can help you communicate with your partner about what you like to feel. So,
cool.
Jeremy, should we get started?
Okay, yeah. So,
do you want me to ask you? Or?
Well, I have it queued up here.
Okay.
It says, what gets you in the mood? And it says, choose as many as you want. Do you have the same answers that I have on your end?
The answers I have are soft caresses.
Yeah, same.
Being grabbed tightly.
Okay, cool.
Grinding.
See, yeah.
Yeah.
Same. So, so what gets you in the mood? Choose as many as you want. Soft caresses. Soft caresses. Yeah. Yeah, definitely soft caresses get me in the mood.
You're not going to want to consider every item this thoroughly because there's a lot of pages.
It goes a lot. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Then I'll, you know what? Then I'll just go yes or no, or hard yes or hard no.
Okay.
Being grabbed tightly. Yep. Grinding. Yes. Closed mouth kissing. What planet? Come on, people. Kissing with lots of tongue. Yes. Of course, lots of tongue. Watching porn together. Yeah. Yeah. Watching porn. Nipple play. Absolutely not. Massages. Okay, well, we fucking Zoom.
Zoomed through that quiz.
We zoomed through the quiz, literally. Zoom fucking dropped a recording when we started the quiz. But I did the whole thing. So I guess I'll just lay out what happened.
Yeah.
So it asked all these questions, and I was clicking all the answers, and they're very well rounded, very good and questions that I haven't even like really thought about of myself personally ever. And then at the end, once you finish it, I clicked a button, and now I'm left with this like little deck, digital deck of cards that I can download and print off at home. And the cards, Bridie, you'd said they're meant to be given to your new partner or like to any partner that you have, like almost like a game that you can play. So I'm imagining someone coming over for the first time and we're sitting on my couch and we're about to start making out. And I say, actually, just one second. And I pull out my
Like a lot of tongue.
I pull up, see here
on this card.
Yeah.
See here on this card. I don't like closed mouth kissing. You didn't read my cards. You didn't do your homework.
It says good for one orgasm or more. That's the first card. Second card says, get me in the mood with being grabbed tightly, grinding, kissing with lots of tongue, watching porn together, cuddling, and sexting. And then the second card says, during sex, I like giving oral sex, getting oral sex, cowgirl, reverse cowgirl, missionary, doggy style, behind on belly, deep thrusting, butt play, sex toys, spanking, and dirty talk.
So you selected all those from a menu of things.
I pretty much just clicked everything on that menu.
It's like an all you can eat sexual buffet.
That was a buffet
situation.
Yeah. The way I like my bits and parts touched are on head and tip, up and down, kiss it, lick it, and suck it. And then it comes with, these ones are a little bit different because these ones have a scale of the type of pressure and the sort of rate at which you want to be touched. So it's the ways I like my bits and parts touched. There's the one scale that's pretty far over on the deep pressure. And then the speed is it's actually quite low on the slow motion tease side of things.
So you like it slow and hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Slow and deep. Deep pressure. The ways I like my penis touched are right on the tip of the penis, the glands, up and down, over the whole penis, swirling around the tip, two hands, and suck it. And again,
these
are all...
Is this how you would read this to a partner? Is this how you would read this to a partner?
Yeah. Yeah. And I like all of those things with deep pressure.
Next time you have a quarantine buddy come over, just sit them on the couch and stand in front of them like you're giving one of your public speeches with some recipe cards in your hand, with these orgasm cards in your hand, and just go, no, just wait. I'm almost done. I have only five more cards to go.
Welcome to my pleasure TED talk.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the last card is the ways I like my balls touched, which I had a hard time with that one because I haven't had my balls. I'm just realizing now, after filling this out, that like I haven't ever really asked for or have really had much attention paid to my balls.
The balls are, you know, balls are, I cannot relate at all to what ball sensation must feel like. This is what I imagine. And so this is how I touch balls. What I imagine is it's the same sensation as the outer labia. You know, because it sort of feels like the skin is similar, the function, you know, the placement is right. And so
it's like, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, like, right, because if I just took my, like, wet finger and was just rubbing just that part of you, you'd be like, I don't hate it, but, like, I also don't love it.
It's kind of like, you can kind of cup that part of the body.
right.
And, like, entertain the clit over here, and it's very similar to, like, cupping the balls, and then you just have
a bigger
clitoris.
That's really interesting, Brad. I never thought about it that way. That's cool. So anyway, I don't know much about my balls. So if anyone does want to know and they are coming over, the ways I like my balls touched, I think, are cupping, pulling on the scrotum, mouth them two at a time, use a ball stretching toy. I have no idea. That just sounds fucking fun.
What?
And suck them. And then I have, it's not deep pressure. This is one where I'm like, I feel like it goes against the other part of me. This one's light touch. But still slow motion tease. Still slow. Yeah. I like the slow. Yeah. That's a cool little thing now
it's
that I have.
It's a good conversation breaker, icebreaker, yeah. conversation starter.
So again, this is all available, and we're going to go into this in depth in this conversation with Andrea, but this is all over at o.school. And again, if you're not familiar, it is a resource that until I became familiar with o.school, it's a resource that I didn't know I needed until I fucking mm-hmm. found this. And this thing is, it really is unbelievable. It's amazing what they have done. And we dive deep into all of the work that Andrea and her team have been doing over at o.school. So
with lots of nods to the people who came before them and created the resources, sort of the blueprints of the of where they are. And, yeah. you know, I really dug how she imparted that mm-hmm. throughout the conversation.
Yeah. So let's throw to that conversation then. We hope you enjoy it. You have one more thing to say.
I do have one more thing to say. I wanted to start with you folks. It's been 2 years since we've been on Patreon, and there have been a handful of you who have been supporting us from the very beginning. And I wanted to start the episode with a huge nod to you, but I'll finish this intro just by saying, all of you who are our patrons are just, you know, we're so grateful and to be able to continue putting out episodes, even though we're not in the same space, and all the traveling and episode collecting we've been able to do. Thanks to your contributions, and a really, really special thank you to those of you who have been with us since the inception of our Patreon. Thank you, Alice, Allison, Haley, Ian, Isaac, James Paul, Jesse, Lacey, Lindsay, Matt, Megan, Melanie, Ramsey, and Sarah in alphabetical order. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah, thank you so much. Honestly, you know, we say it a lot, but you mean the world to us, and this podcast literally, and figuratively would not exist. If it would not be continuing, it would not be a thing if it wasn't for your support and your continued support. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, cool. Well, now let's throw it to this episode. This is a fucking, I love this conversation, and I know you're going to love it too. And Andrea's the shit, and can't wait to see more of the work that they do over at o.school.
See you soon.
Well, I'm excited to dive into this conversation, Andrea. I feel like this is something that we've kind of been working to bring to fruition for a little bit.
That's right. We were going to come visit you in California when we were there in January. We were hoping mm-hmm. to connect.
I had no idea that we would maybe never be able to meet. I would have tried harder to be in LA. It's a bummer, but yeah, I'm glad we're getting on together now.
Well, this, you know, this is COVID just allowed us to create the podcast in a new way that actually invites guests from all over the world to sit down and chat with us now. So this is actually, it's kind of panned out. Why don't we just like kick it right off with a little explanation from your end of what is o.school?
O-School is a trusted resource that helps people all over the world learn about sex, dating, anything that's around sexual wellness. And another way to look at us is we fill the gap online between Planned Parenthood and Pornhub.
I that is amazing. I love that.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah, when I was younger, I had the usual public school, STIs are bad, sex ed, minimal health information, but I also had a Catholic school, you know, gay people are bad and do not have sex until marriage. And so I am one of the people that I think would have been better off with no sex ed than the sex ed I received. And when I was building my tech career before this, I built accounting software and was a venture capitalist for a minute, just making, you know, online businesses better and helping online, you know, internet founders. And it was very ironic to me that even though I was investing in companies, building technology companies, none of this helped me when I was personally unlearning a lot of sexual shame. And that's why I started becoming obsessed with the space and started to ask these questions of what could be in the internet that's not porn or just medical health information.
Hmm. I've noticed.
Go ahead, Brad.
I noticed there was a lot of, the titles of the blogs are so vast, like the stuff that they covered. I had written some down, something like, you know, is masturbation a sin, all the way to like five great ways to sit on someone's face. And I noticed though, over the whole, all the headlines, there was kind of a recurring aspect of spirituality or like I don't know if Christianity specifically, but just this addressing a lot about the relationship between like pleasure and spirituality, religion, etc. Where does that come from?
When I started looking into the space, I found that there were amazing sex educators and organizations who were speaking to people who were on a road of sexual liberation and had a lot of already exposure to topics around sexuality. What I found was sorely, sorely lacking, and it definitely lacked for me, was that for a lot of people, even clicking or looking at an article that's about something very explicitly sexual is too much. And those are the people that we wanted to reach. The Kansas City person who's had only, you know, been exposed to very like a lot of religious shame, a lot of messages that sex isn't okay, sex is bad. And to reach those people, you need to do a lot of different things. And we also believe that those people who are in need of the most education probably lack the language. And so we actually speak, for example, like every sex educator will tell you it's a vulva, not a vagina. No one is Googling vulva, really.
Right, now. Right, right.
And so O-School, I partnered with one of the former engineering leaders at WebMD. She was with her first designer, first engineer, first woman, you know, technical person on the team at WebMD. And what WebMD did was similar. It's like, what are people searching in Google? And can we like give people medically accurate, great information? And that doesn't exist in the realm of sexuality. And an example of this is WebMD doesn't want to say the word blowjob. We will use medically accurate terms. And that's what I feel is missing. There's so many amazing resources out there, but not ones that a mass, you know, multi-billion person audience can access. And a lot of that is because people are starting way before, you know, face sitting 101. They're, where does my pee come out? Why can't I come? Can women come? You'll also find that we have some controversial topics like, how can I get my wife to give me a blowjob? When we wrote that, there was like a lot of eyebrows, like why, but that's what people are searching for. And if we don't make content for them, they're still going to find Quora posts that are people being like, you force her, or, you know, like horrible, horrible, horrible information. And so at O-School, we like to go there.
I love it. It's like you're meeting them where they're coming from. Like
no judgment. How can I judge? How can I judge when I didn't even see myself naked till I was like a founder twice of a tech company? Does it make like I can't go out and judge people when I came to my sexual liberation really late? Like I went to Catholic school. I had a really, you know, conservative upbringing. And so I can relate to the person who can't see themselves naked, or, you know, I have letters all the time of like, is it normal that every time I take my clothes off, I cry and have a panic attack? Like those people are the people that I want to reach because, you know, they're not even ready to click on a vibrator ad or any sort of content in this space.
Turn Me On. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
How do you go about like figuring out what like, okay, for so I'm sitting here as like a, as someone who feels like a, you know, I feel like a pretty sexually open and accepting and like sex positive human. You just saying that the title of the article, like how do I get my wife to give me a blowjob? That's not something that I would even remotely comprehend as something that is needed. How do you come up with what's
being Googled?
Like, how do you figure out like that that's an article that needs to be touched on? Because like, again, to me, it's like, holy fuck, wow, that's something, that's, there's a need for that. That's interesting.
So O School's a really boring, just very data-driven company. We're not geniuses. We can't read minds. We rely on Google Trends, Google Search Console. We rely on tools. And then we also have a history where we had data over like hundreds of live streams. And so we saw the live chat questions in the natural language. So all of these things combined gave us some of the insights, and also Reddit forums, Imgur. Like, I like to go where the trolls are. I like to go because inside of a troll's message is a lot of great data and insights. People just like to react and get upset. And like, I get kind of like fascinated and like, ooh, see how they massage that question. Or there's a sliver of realness in there that we need to address. And what I also don't like to see is when educators get angry at these questions. Because if you can't be ignorant to an educator, then who can you be ignorant to, right? So if someone comes to me and they go, well, how can I, and this has happened live in front of college audiences. I've had people go like, how do I get a girl to give me X, Y, Z, right? How can I get a girl to do anal? How can I get a girl to do whatever? And the for me, the most important thing is I don't instantly shame that person, because it's so easy to want to shame that type of thing. Like, you are rape culture. You are literal rape culture. You know how much, like, and I've seen this happen live, but that is a horrible thing for me to see as someone who is shamed constantly growing up, because I don't use shame as a tool. What I'll do is I will not react. I will say, okay, let's think about this question. And so that's the approach we take at O School, is there are people who, most people have never received consent education, sex education, queer education, yet they are punished pretty harshly for not knowing. And that's the punishment that I don't think we should do. We should take seriously.
Which I think is really, really interesting that you touch on that, because it does seem to go against the norm right now, which is like very, you know, that like the term cancel culture is just such a, like, is something that just like comes to mind when I hear you talk about this, which stems from just like finding the thing that's wrong and then shaming it until it fucking disappears, which I agree. Like, I don't think that's the way that there's, I don't think that, I think there are more, valuable ways that we can have conversations that can actually like deroot maybe like toxic thinking or, you know, toxic behavior. What kind of, like, I can only imagine that O School has faced its fair share of like, controversy in taking this approach. Like, do you guys get a lot of shit for the approach that you're taking, or is it pretty like universally well received?
No, absolutely. There's controversy, and absolutely people, you know, we get educated. People are like, actually, you need to change this headline to instead, for example, our name is O School. People are like, why O? I'm like, it's up to you. We like it because it's not like orgasm school. It's just like on the nose. But some people, even educators, will come out and say, you need to, orgasm's not the goal. You should be preaching non-goal-oriented pleasure, which is an amazing thing. But I don't think anyone has ever Googled non-goal-oriented pleasure. They're searching for orgasm. And so over every single approach we take, there's criticism, and that is valid. However, we think that there needs to be a place where it's okay to be ignorant, where it's okay to not understand things. Like, there are certain lines, like, you've had hundreds of years, I feel like, to overcome and to learn about racism, right?
Yeah.
Like, we won't, if you're angry at us because we have like a person of color and a stock image like that, I'm not here for you. But if you like legitimately have never met a trans person and you can't speak in trans inclusive language, I went to UC Berkeley, one of the most like progressive campuses ever. And I didn't learn to speak in a trans inclusive way until I fell in love with a trans person at the age of like 25 and made a lot of mistakes. Like, it's impossible, I think, for people to catch up with all the things that you have to learn unless it's a passion of yours or if it's your identity. And we think that that's important to make space for those folks.
Hmm. Yeah. Good point. I'm very curious to know, you kind of touched on this, but how do you go from like venture capitalist kind of like accounting software into was the transition from that into O School purely due to your own like self-realization that like, wow, what the fuck is my sexual education? Like where am I coming from here? Was there one moment where you went, wow, I need to like unpack this?
So, I would say that the major one was at the time that I was investing in companies, I was starting to figure out my sexuality and my career exploded. Like, I was speaking internationally. I was just on it. And it was funny how people were like, what's going on with you? You're like killing it. And I'd make up some lie about like green juice or sprouted seed. But really, like the thing was like, I was like really coming into myself. And then sneakily, I didn't tell people I was interested in it. I just tried to invest in the space. And I was denied from doing so. So I wrote a book last year called Sex Tech Revolution. And I really focused on the financial structural aspects of what has kept the industry back. And it was really that, juxtaposition for me is that this was something that was hugely having an impact on me. I was investing in companies that were supposedly changing the world, but it wasn't a sector that we were allowed to really go into as a fund at 500 startups. And that made me crazy. I started to really research and get deeper and deeper and deeper in learning about payment processing. Oh my God, Visa, MasterCard, and the big financial institutions that block these things. And that started to kind of lead into an obsession until finally the fund that I was at just pushed me out with my first investment and like a bunch of, like positive words about, hey, go do something here. You're not gonna be able to invest here. So be that. And so back in 2015, 2016, femtech was leading the way, right? You started to see menstrual care get investment, fertility care get investment. But at that point, anything that touched pleasure, people told me no institutional investor would touch this. And in the last 4 years, it has completely changed and it's continuing to change. And so I can't say that back then I even could conceive that there would be like a massive market. Obviously, intuitively, I was like, this must change. I'm not betting on a future where people are more sexually conservative. I will bet on a future that's, more sexually open and healthy. And so that's been great to watch. Because in a short time, we have seen that those perceptions really change.
What do you think drove that change in perception? Why in the last 4 years have we started to see more of a push in the right direction?
One is the just general like pop culture trends. 50 Shades of Grey made 100 million, sold 100 million copies. You see Netflix shows like Gwyneth Paltrow and the Goop stuff. Love it or hate it, she's bringing more of this conversation into the light. So I think that financial institutions are the slowest to move, right? Visa, MasterCard, and all of that. However, in, you know, the last couple of years, you've seen like some acquisitions on the precipice. So not to get too technical, like I don't want to go too much in the finance world, but for me, when I see like, those are the types of activities that will really speed up investment innovation is acquisitions, like mergers and acquisitions. So like, for example, P&G, like Procter & Gamble acquired a company called This Is L that did like things in this space for a large sum of money. And when you see those things, that is an indicator. That's an indicator. Like basically when the suits start walking in, like the activists and the nonprofits have been here, right? Like for decades. I'm not claiming that those schools yeah. any sort of original idea. It's not. And it's sadly, I think partly because I built accounting software and all these things that I did get checks from like some of the, you know, pioneering, for example, we have the inventor of Google Maps who's put many checks in O School, and it's one of our biggest supporters. His name is Lars Rasmussen. He invented Google Maps. He was a director of engineering at Facebook. You know, when those people started giving us money, it signaled to other people that this was something that, you know, and so partly it was seen, and that is sad, right? I don't think this is a great thing that you know, once the money starts flowing into a space, it starts to move, but it's actually what I think did kind of lead off, because again, it's not like it's a new idea. Like Carol Queen, who's a friend of mine, and she's been doing this for decades at Good Vibrations, and we've just now started seeing the markets shift.
I found that so interesting. I was reading on I think it was Monday morning, and I'm not sure what drew me to it. It was I was on the Patreon website, and it was a blog post about that you were referenced in, and we were going to be having this conversation, and you right. were talking about how the censorship in place, like parental controls from the Apple sort of community, not like allowing your site to be accessed, lumping it in with, you said, I think the quote was they can't differentiate between, like child porn and like sex ed for teenagers, essentially, you know. And what did you find out through that? Was that just part of the same sort of wildfire that went through you that was like, I got to get to the bottom of like why this isn't, I don't know. I'm not going to put words in your mouth.
So I'm not the only founder that's seen this, like Polly at Unbound, Alex Find a Dame, Cindy Gallup, everyone's spoken about the unfair practices of like ads, right? So Facebook will deny ads for vaginal dryness, but approve them for erectile dysfunction. There's all that. At this time, you know, I wasn't really in that arena. We didn't sell toys at that time. And, you know, when I found out about the Apple's parental controls, it was purely someone on our team was literally searching for dulce de leche, like a recipe for like, you know, some dessert, and leche in Spanish means like semen. And it was blocked out of the parental controls thing. And we started digging after that as a team, just digging and digging. And of course we weren't surprised that we were blocked. We started seeing like, how come this site, you know, it was like Daily Stormer was okay, but like, you know, anything with teen in it, like Scarlet Teen, like the even more educational and nonprofit version of O School was blocked. We were blocked. Like, and it was just something that we had to talk about because, again, I don't personally believe that any tech company has it out for the space. I've spoken to the founders of some of these platforms about it, and they feel terrible about it. There are certain companies that really have a strong stance, Apple being a big one, right? So Apple is called the church. Like, it's a very conservative. And even, like, things like, you can't show nipples on Instagram, you know? You know, again, I can't say on, like, I don't want to put words in the founders' mouths, but I've been to talks where I've heard, you know, the sentiments, and it doesn't seem like they cared. It was like, ooh, if we didn't do these rules, Apple was going to come and like shut us down or kick us out of the App Store. Tumblr, I think something similar happened to. And so, something that people, they think that there are people inside that want to keep sex tech out, but it's really the fear that porn will proliferate or that child porn will proliferate or any of these things is enough to really shut it down. I wish, though, that people inside of these companies would invite educators and things to help make the algorithm smarter. But at the end of the day, I attribute it to mostly like laziness and like, really, it's that simple. No advocates, no leaders who have a belief in sexual wellness being important is, I think, the reason these things happen.
I've always wondered, like, whether or not it was a human, like a human problem or like an AI slash algorithm problem that we've run into here. But it seems to be sort of a blend of both. It's like there's for, I mean, I'm not, I have no, like, I'm so not tech. So me saying AI is probably just not the right fucking term, but for lack of a better term, like AI slash, you know, algorithm, it seems to be the problem exists there because there's a lack of desire to really really shape it out in a way where it works for everyone, yet keeping like a certain population safe. Like, is that seem to be what the problem is?
Absolutely. And they're afraid. I mean, some of these times, like some of these companies have open sexual assault allegations against them. And so you can imagine how sticky it is. They just want to avoid it altogether. But to your point, humans teach machines what to do. If the humans don't know what to do, then the machines will definitely not know what to do. I mean, that for me, like I've been in tech for over a decade. And whenever you're AI or algorithms, it's the limitations of it are the limitations of the people who program them. Mm-hmm. And so if tech has a white male problem and there's no diversity, then the algorithms will also have, like those will trickle down. And so you're absolutely right in that it's a blend of both. But again, I don't see it as this, you know, it's not like they're trying necessarily, but they're not also trying to protect it either. And it's so much easier just to say, like, stay out. Like even with the thing I just talked about, we were testing on the parental controls and it was anything with teen in it. So even if you were searching for like teen suicide hotline, it was getting, and that's an overuse of an algorithm.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, can we exclude other groupings? But if you're looking for, you know, teen sex or something like that, that's what they're trying to get rid of. But like, you know, 17 magazine was banned. It's just, for me, I see that it's laziness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. It does such a huge disservice to the potential audience that those resources could help. I think this is just kind of occurring to me because I don't think about the tech world too much with regards to sex or really anything except for something I just have to deal with and I don't feel like aligned with it. So it's so curious to me to meet someone who has this alignment between your sexuality or your interest in like sex education as well as your like this tech background that you come from. And I'm wondering, is that like, is this a temporary alignment or do you feel like sex education is a part of like your calling?
Very good question. I never imagined a career in tech. I will say I was a trained linguist when I was recruited to be in the accounting software, and I never had any accounting, business, or tech background when I built accounting software for 3 years. I was 20 years old. Like the only reason I did it, the thing that binds my career together is women believing bigger for myself than I believe for me. Like that's the only thing that binds together because I was about to move to China forever to pursue linguistics. And I get a call from my freshman roommate in college and she's like, that's a dumb plan. Like I just got into Y Combinator. Like, and I'm like, what's that? Like, which is one of the most prestigious and, you know, tech investors. And I'm like, what's that? You know, and Jessica Ma, who was my freshman roommate, was like, I just got into here. I'm going to raise $1 million, like drop everything, move to Mountain View, California, and just build this thing with me. And it was really my loyalty to her. And I was like, all right, I'll give this a year and help her. Cause yeah, that's cool. And this was 2010. There were no women in tech in 2010. And so I was like, oh, she's a badass. I'll just help her. Got into there, you know, ended up like getting the trenches with her 3 years, super long journey, like just learned a lot. And then hopped into venture capital also because a woman was like, yo, you should work as a VC. There's not enough women in VC. Did that for 2 years. And sex, I feel like, was something that I became obsessed on accident. It wasn't, again, a career choice. It was just a thing that I needed when I was 16, 17, 18. And I feel like there is a point in career when you're like, if you don't build the thing you needed, who's going to build it?
Mm.
And so that obsession led me here. And funnily, I think any of the progress we've been able to make in O School was due to my venture capital and accounting background. And so like that whole idea that you can't connect dots backwards, I've lived that. Like I felt like my life was off course for a really long time until I finally started working on O School. And I realized that because I get a lot of, at least 10 a week, I get people wanting to get into sex tech, right? And, you know, I really think there's something to be said about nonlinear paths because when people like have a goal, they just want to be a founder, raise the money. Like people, the number one question people ask me is, how did you raise the whatever millions that you raised for O School? And, you know, I have to tell them like, hey, I really worked for other people and worked in the space for 6 years before anyone would even, you know, consider giving me money. So to think that, you know, I want to encourage those people, but I also want to say that there's no such thing as that, like overnight, like, oh, my dream is to be a sex tech founder. None of that ever crossed my head. It just, at the time that, again, we didn't have, this wasn't solved by the internet. We have people inventing like every type of technology, but no one, like I didn't find a lot of people were innovating in a mass scale around sexuality. And again, it was that question of if I don't, like who can?
Mm-hmm. I say the same shit to people who are like, I want to start a podcast. How do you, and I'm like, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's like, if you want this to be a thing, that's actually like your job. It's be prepared to like grind it out and to like just explore that space in every way that you possibly can. And who knows what will come from it. But, I think that's like a good sentiment to anything that you want to do in your life. I'm really interested to talk to you about this because I don't think we've had anyone on the show who could speak to this. And so I think you're the perfect one to go into it. I was giving a talk the other day to a group that specializes in digital health solutions. And I was talking about how, you know, we at least here in where I'm from in Halifax, Nova Scotia, we don't have much in the way of digital health solutions, or there's like a long way to go, which I find really funny because, you know, like Blade Runner was set in 2019. Like it's 2020. We are literally living in the future now. And there's so much technology at our fingertips that we can use in ways that we're doing right now that can be really beneficial, yet they don't, for some reason, they haven't made that jump to other parts of our lives where it would be really valuable, like in the world of health. You know, like if I needed to go to a clinic visit for my chronic lung disease here, I'm doing it over the telephone as opposed to like doing it like we're doing right now, where I can like actually see my doctor or whatever. So having said that, there's I'm really excited to see where the world ends up in the world of like health and tech and what we will see in the future, especially after COVID. What are your thoughts on like, and maybe even from like a COVID perspective, what are your thoughts on us living in the future right now and where we see tech and sex merging together in the coming years? Like what's the future for sex tech look like?
It's so important that we have people with different lived experiences and with a heart for sexual liberation to be in those rooms that are designing that. Because one of the things that I always get asked is it sex robots? Is it going to be like teledildonic futures, which is cool. I'm not trying to take away from the coolness, but that's not the future of sex tech that I'm invested in or trying to build. Like we still live in a world where most people do not have the basic health and sex information given to them. In the US alone, it's the lowest sex ed we've had in the last 30 years. Half of schools do nothing. The half that do, 2/3 of them are abstinence only until marriage. STIs are at an all-time high in the US. Teen pregnancy is on the rise because of the cuts that have been made to the teen pregnancy prevention program. Like, you have Elon Musk trying to do some crazy shit, like going to the moon, and we don't have a basic way of disseminating the, you know, fundamentally important sexual health information, right? And so the merging of the world, I'm encouraged post-COVID. So to your point, I think telehealth is absolutely going to be on a rise. I'm a huge climate change, buff, and, you know, all of the, future of meat conversations are being pushed forward in this time. And I actually believe sex tech will be in this because now, especially if you just take out the like what should or shouldn't be, you just look at the markets. Investors today can't really be investing in travel or, you know, there's so many aspects of the world that are away. And like if shelter in place is here to stay, which many people think it is, then sex tech and sexual wellness will be one of the counter cyclical spaces, because one of the few things you can do at home is do each other and like have fun and like take care of yourself with sexual wellness. And so absolutely, I think that post COVID, we will see a new interest and a new wave of people interested, because we want more innovators, right? Like, I am excited for the days where not only the most diehard sexual wellness enthusiasts are in, right? Because we want to see many people with many different motivations coming in this space to push these kinds of things forward, whether it's telehealth, telemedicine, sexual therapy, like teledildonics, dude, there's huge applications for it. And I'm very pro porn, pro future of porn. I actually just wrote a piece on how the whole porn industry is going to completely change because of COVID, because porn studios can't support themselves. And so the creators, the porn performers, have seized the modes of production actually right now. And OnlyFans, FanCentro are these platforms that are blowing up. And the future of porn is going to change forever post-COVID.
Well, I mean, you're even seeing it on Pornhub. You know, like there's such a rise on Pornhub of like the, I forget what it's called, but it's like Pornhub community. It's like these couples in their home that are going, all right, well, we started a Pornhub account and we're charging for our videos. And it's like, it's like early 2019, like the incest sort of like world of Pornhub was like at an all-time peak. And it now seems to be like, that's old news. And now what's new is this like rise of sort of DIY porn. And like, I mean, OnlyFans, Christ, like the whole controversy around Beyonce, like dropping one line about OnlyFans in a track last week. And it just like blows up this service that has been out there for, you know, a little while. It's going to be so fascinating to see what the world of online sex means after COVID and what we're still about to witness. Like we're definitely in like a really unique time for in terms of like sexuality and this is getting me all excited. This is great.
Jeremy loves tech. We just had a conversation with someone who is a sex doll vendor or an intimate partner alternative. And so it's interesting to have this conversation kind of on the heels of that, because I think you've really kind of blown open the world of sex tech for me. I think it's one of those subjects that, because it's linked with tech, I don't think about it and I don't really tend to dream about it. But you said you've referred to it a couple of times of like the version of it that you're investing in. And that's just so incredibly inspiring, particularly at this time when it's like, what is even a normal life going to look like and society, and if it could be anything at all, what could I dream it to be? And so just thank you for reminding me of that. And I'm so curious to know what else does it look like in your vision of what's possible?
Well, sexual wellness. I think sex tech specifically talks about the new innovations, the new business models, the, you know, really fancy things you can put on a CES floor, which is awesome and all valid. However, sexual wellness is much bigger than that. And the thing I tell everyone, investors, doctors, everyone who comes to us, is sexual wellness is more about wellness than sex. It's just like meditation. It's just like buying a yoga mat. Like, I, you know, predict that doctors will prescribe vibrators one day. Like, I predict that will be a thing. Like, they will prescribe lubricants like they would prescribe anything else. Just like some doctors, when someone has high blood pressure and stress, they're like, hey, try yoga meditation, right? These are movements that sexual wellness is falling into. A lot of people, when I started out, were like, go get funded by the cannabis people and the gambling investors. And I'm like, no. Not that anything's wrong with that, but because the future is that buying a yoga mat is going to be the same thing as buying a vibrator. Like, I am invested in that future. And it's interesting, you know, you're not alone, right? Like, a lot of people who come to me, like, I'm not interested in sex tech, but I'm like, you're a sex educator. You're literally, we're on the same lines of liberation, and tech is just a vehicle to get there. And to your point, Jeremy, it's funny when people think about innovation, everything innovation on the internet or technology wise started with the porn industry, right? Video streaming, payments, like everything that we rely on was pioneered. And yet, as soon as the technology becomes mainstream, all of the sexual parts of it are wiped out, cleared out. It's like they ride, they innovate on the backs of the porn industry, and then they're surprised when, you know, their growth is fueled by there, and then they kick them all out. It's a horrible, horrible cycle. And and also to your point, I think the thing about, you know, the new OnlyFans, people are surprised at this, but also the gig economy, right? We saw people leave traditional jobs to kind of go and have the gig economy. This is what I'm seeing now. It's like, you don't need a studio. You don't need, you know, someone like that. You can do it yourself and own more of your product, own more of your brand, and have a direct connection to the customer. We see this in other fields. We see this in, you know, Instagram influencers. We see this in so many podcasts, right? Are a form of this happening. And so I think, like, I would love to see these conversations start to merge, and that it's not this separate ecosystem that has to exist separate from what's happening and everything else. Because why are we always cutting sexuality away from the experience of being human? I don't understand that. And that's the thing that sex tech and sexual wellness is really bringing it back into the conversation.
Do you work with, can you name some of the other sexual educators that kind of are in your orbit, influencing the work that you're doing?
Oh, I'm influenced by so many people, and there are many, many Instagram accounts and organizations that do like great things. So like, I'm fans of Salty, I'm fans of Shrimp Teeth, I'm fans of Afrosexology, I'm fans, like, in our orbit of educators, our medical review board is led by Dr. Uchenna Osai of UC Logic, who's an amazing pelvic floor, you know, like a practitioner, you know, is on the board of a medical school, but also talks about sexuality in the context of pelvic floor issues. In terms of companies, there's really cool companies like, you know, Coral, and like, you know, I can name so many that have come out, like Dipsy is an audio erotica company. You've got on the product side, so many Unbound, Dame products, like, again, just so many new companies doing things. And most of them are led by women or queer people, which I think is huge for the space. You also have a lot of, like, the biggest unicorn in the space right now is kind of probably arguably Hims Hers, which is a pharmaceutical kind of, which again, there's a lot of controversy around that. But for me, I really believe there's room for so many types of innovators. Like, we kind of see ourselves as a very, like, structured data and information and education. That's where we're good, right? I think there's so many brands. There was a Mod. Oh my God, I'm huge fans of Mod and what they've done in, again, the product space. And again, all of these companies have come around really like in the last 5 to 6 years and are just starting to hit, you know, some strides. And I think we're going to see a lot more.
I think you just scheduled our third season of Turn Me On.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
I was like, I'm going to go write. No, I'm not going to write any of this down. I'll write it down later.
Go back and listen to it. And then that's our whole roster of guests for next year.
I'm just so happy for you that you're surrounded by people who are inspiring you. I'm really, it's good. It's good.
I mean, not just for you, Andrea, but like for the greater good of humans, you know, like the fact that you're surrounded by so many organizations, companies, and individuals who are like really lifting you up and in turn your company up to change the world of sex education. Like, that's just, we're all so much better off for it. So there's something very exciting about that.
There are so many ways that this industry is nascent, and we want more and more people. That's actually why, like, I put out that book, like, Sex Tech Revolution, like, Future Sexual Wellness, which I think that's why we were connected, because we were kind of reaching out, and I was like so glad to see your podcast and all the ways that you're connecting with people around these conversations. And was because when I came to the space, there was no information. Like, you couldn't even Google it. There was not a lot of things. And so I put that together because I believe that, you know, even if O School doesn't make it, like, we want to be the stepping stone for the next generation of people who are going to come in it. And it's a community that, again, is trying to reshape the conversation, right? Like, it's not like there weren't Lilo and Jimmy Jane and like all these other things before us. Like, I always like to give homage to the people, like Good Vibrations personally. Like, that's the brand that I personally relate to, because that's the one that, you know, I really connected with when I was 18 years old, and it was a retail experience and it was life-changing for me. And I think that we have to also never really think that we're disrupting anything. Like, there's just generations of people who've been trying to do this, and it just may be that like now is the time that people are going to start knowing about it. But it doesn't mean that the innovators I just listed are by any means the first. We are just the ones that suddenly the financial world has taken attention to, for better or worse, right?
Mm-hmm. On a personal level, as someone who works in the sex industry in a way, do you feel do you feel like your personal sex life is reflective of the, sometimes I feel like we do the sex podcast and I'm like, but so, you know, people might think, or I might think that I should have a, like a great sex life or consistently like enlightened about sex or whatever. And, sometimes I'm like, because I have this podcast, sometimes it inhibits my own relationship to my own sexuality. Do you feel like there's a parallel going along with you and your, what you're putting out there in the world, as well as what you're experiencing in your personal life?
I will say, I agree with you that it can be challenging, and absolutely, like, the perception is that, you know, like, no one can have sex because, like, we're having it all, like, in the space, right? Like, I get that reaction all the time, and it's hilarious. I think, like I said earlier, I have tons of issues. I need a lot of education. Like, half the stuff on O-School, I'm, like, heavily reading and, like, oh, I need this. Thank you. Thank you, writers and educators, for helping me. And I think that's important because also there's an unfair expectation for people in sex tech and sexual wellness to share about their sex lives way more than necessarily we should be expected to. It's almost like a tax you pay, like, oh, like, entertain us with these stories. And so I've actually become way more guarded about my own, also not just because of a need for privacy, but because I believe that in education, to connect with people, you know, I'll tell stories about how I struggled, but as soon as you start talking about positive or braggadocious stories, you actually distance yourself from the people mm-hmm. who really need what, because they're like, you become something they can't attain. You become, you know, it's not really helpful. It's kind of like learning about, you know, I don't know, like fitness influencers, like, who are only like in the best shape possible, right? We need influencers at all levels of the journey so people can connect. And I think, like, I am happily like a, you know, I was told by a partner that, like, I dress like a kindergarten teacher, and like that helps, because, you know, I feel like some people think that to be in this industry, you know, there's unfair expectations put on people to be sexy. And it's like, no, sex tech is not sexy. This is the thing that people get wrong. Sex aren't sexy. They just are what they are.
Good point. Yeah. What does that make you think, Bridie? Like, when you, how does that answer speak to you? Because I find that very, like, very, I agree. Like, I agree that there is this sort of, like, this expectation to, like, as the sex podcast host to be some sort of freak. And I'm like, you know,
not even just a freak, just to, like, be able, you know, if I have a breakdown in communication, and I can't communicate about sex for some reason with my partner, and I get the, but you host a sex podcast, like, thing thrown at me, I'm like, this is the education that I needed. This is we created Turn Me On because I didn't have a sex education. I've only started my journey like three years ago, you know, mm-hmm. like, talk about, and yes. And when we started, so, like, I don't know, Jeremy and I are married and we have an open relationship and we see other people. And when we first started the podcast, primarily we were telling our own stories and to each other. And yeah, after a while too, it was just like, I have a limited experience, like super limited experience. So more and more, especially because now I have a partner that's more private and I don't talk about my experience so specifically, I'm like, oh, there is something kind of nice about just being back here with my sexual issues and having conversations with other people about what they do, not assuming that they have it all right either. Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Like I identify a lot with like the creating and the building and that creative energy for me. Like I tell this all the time, like there were moments during O School's journey that I was like, I called myself creatively celibate. Like I was just like so turned on by the work that like it, and I thought that was like a positive thing. And that surprised a lot of people to even hear that like for me, you sexual liberation has nothing to do with the sex you're having or the amount of sex you have or how open. Like it really doesn't. It's about like how comfortable you are. And so if you are asexual and you're like living your best life sexually, then for me, you're sexually liberated. Like it has nothing to do. And if you want sex one time a week in the missionary position with absolutely nothing interesting about it, and you are still, you know, affirming and supporting all your friends with their kinky poly, like orgy lifestyles, that's also sex positive and sexually liberated. Like, I think that's, we need those people in our audience. Just like, it can't just be queer people in the queer community. You have to have allies.
Hmm. Yeah. Good point. This has been such a wonderful, like uplifting fucking chit chat. Like it's agreed. Honestly, it's like made my Tuesday afternoon all that much better, and it was already going great. So, Andrea, I want to say thank you for taking the time to sit down and chat with us. Let everyone know who's listening where they can find all the stuff that you're up to and all the awesomeness that you put out there.
We would love people to email us any questions at ask@o.school, like literally everything. We love it. We are also really excited about our orgasm order form, which is an experience we created to help people, you know, have awkward conversations about what they like in bed. It's modeled after ordering a sandwich or a burrito at Whole Foods. Like you can say like, yes, tomatoes, no onions, yes, lettuce. But like, what about, you know, like, oh, touch my clit on the left-hand side, the counterclockwise motion for 20 minutes, like stuff like that. And so we have a piloted experience that we'd love people's feedback on. Just go to o.school. That's our whole URL is o.school.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And everyone, you know, if you forget anything you've heard here, it's all going to be in the show notes. Go check it out, because o.school is up to some really, really cool shit. Andrea, thank you so much. And thank you all so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. We will be back next week, as we always are, with another wonderful conversation. In the meantime, you can follow us on Spotify, go to Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and a review, all that stuff that we say every week. And if you want to support the podcast further than that, it would mean the world to us if you went over to patreon.com/turnmeon.
If you want to reach out for any other reason, questions, comments, feedback, brain boners, you can email us at turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com or through our website, turnmeonpodcast.com. Or that is our DMs in Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Slide into the DMs on Instagram. That's always fun. That is it for this week.
Until next week.
Go fuck yourself.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.